Okay, so it's been a while. We're on page Shin, Parakhav Test, Vidui, in this edition, Reish Pei. Okay, I want to give a shkaich again to Jeff Weinberg and to Meridian, and the Hever there. And I mean, it's actually the episode's titles. We're all familiar with the Avoida of Vidui, but our familiarity with it is mostly tied up to Yom Kippur, the person's more connected to the weekday davening, the vidui that we say during the week, the vidui that we say, a Krishma Lamita. But here we're talking about in the context of his bodhis. Vidui is a very important part of the avoda of his bodhis. The honesty that opens a person up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and brings to a relationship. And it's the same thing when it comes between a husband and wife and friends. So where it says in the middle of page Shin, Hine Etzma Vidu Elvanaisav, Eno Elachelik, Miat Shuva, Kalel Shleisha Dvarim. So the Mechaber here talks a little bit about again, the topic that we're familiar with, Shuva, and how Shuva is not only about Vidui, but Shuva consists of different parts. Charata alachet v'tzaralov, to regret the wrong that a person has done, to feel some tzar, regret over that. Vidui alavanoisav bakash mechilus slich me'Hashem, v'dibui ritzu yipius. Vidui, confessing, admitting one's mistakes and asking for mechila and so on. Appeasing Hashem, v'chein kabbalah la'asid. And probably the hardest part of tshuva, over the years, many of the drushes, many of the talks that I've given over all the years, Shabbos tshuva, halt kufa, el rashim kippur, have to do with this difficulty of kabbalah la'asid, of accepting upon myself in the real and honest way to change my life in the future, and the feeling that many people have that when they're doing tshuva, as sincere as their regret is for the mistakes they've made, they can't sincerely say that I'm not going to do this again. This is a very common problem. It's a huge thing in the Avodah Teshuva. This requirement of Kabbalah Lahaba. And when we've spoken many times over the years, the Lashon of the Rambam is so strong, Anshi Yodelov Yodea Talumos, until Hashem himself will bear testimony that Leoshev Le. They said, you're not going to do this again. You're finished with it. So a lot of the yeyush, a lot of the discouragement that prevents us from really doing tshuva is this part of Kabbalah laws, of accepting upon myself to change in the future. And the common feeling is that, like, who am I kidding? I don't think I'm going to be able to change this. I'd like to. I don't think I can, or I don't really want to badly enough, whatever it might be. So then doesn't that disqualify everything else I'm talking about? The whole tshuva, like what's the tshuva that I'm doing? I'm not gonna change. I don't think I'm gonna change. I don't feel like I have the crisis to change. And I've said this in the past, every single time I said that I was going to change, and my record is that I haven't changed. Or I haven't made some improvements, but I haven't completely repaired this problem. So the natural feeling that a person has is that the whole thing is really still, like, it's not serious. Al tshuva is not serious. I'm not going to change. I'm missing this Kabbalah Lahaba. So is there such a thing as tshuva that is meaningful, despite the fact that one's Kabbalah, as far as the determination and the change in the future, that that's not really where it should be? And the person honestly doesn't feel that he or she can change things. And there's a lot of discussion about that.
What did she tell you?
In the Svarim, in the Poskim, and the Svarim HaKadoshim. I think somebody has to mute. There's somebody that you need to mute.
Doctor, I've been on all.
Yeah, okay. So this is a big problem. That a person is makabal upon himself not to repeat this in the future. Azman haroy v'amiyuchalaka u'bishas heizabaydus. So one does not, and should not wait until Elul, until the zmanei shuva. Every single moment of a person's life is shuv yomecha lefnei misavcha. It's to do tshuva, kol yoma b'tshuva, to do tshuva. And his bodhidus is a guarantee. If a person is in this avodah of his bodhidus, it's a guarantee that he is going to live a life of tshuva, kol yoma b'tshuva. Doesn't mean that he's going to become a tzaddik overnight, but he's in the sugya of tshuva now. So what does that mean to be in the sugi of tshuva, even though you're not changing? What does that mean? So, Rabbi Nachman and Rabbi Nosson, K'vuv B'divrei Rabbeinu, K'amakomis B'likutei Halachos, Rabbi Nachman and Rabbi Nosson speak about the tshuva of his bodhis. A person that's in the world of his bodhis is talking to Baruch Hu every day, or every day or two, he's talking to Baruch Hu, and he's speaking about his issues, his inyanim. So he's in the parasha of tshuva, as opposed to many people that just put all of that off, and they figure, you know, when it comes to Elul, if I live till Elul, then I'll try to fix some of these things up in Elul. You know, when we say all the scary stuff, or maybe I'll wait till Slichus, you know, whatever. But a person that's in his part of this is not waiting. He lives a life of truth. It's a life of truth. But still there's this problem. And Rabbi Nachman and Rabbi Nosson speak about this. That so you're good. You do his part of this on a regular basis. That's wonderful. You confess to Hashem. You're honest. You regret your mistakes, but Lamaisa, you don't feel that you have the strength to disengage from the ra, from what's wrong, in a clear and absolute way. And the person feels, and is, and he knows within himself, that he really cannot honestly commit to this complete tshuva, meaning to change everything. Because he's not on that madrega. He knows that he's not on that madrega. So the tzaddikim tell us that still a person has to do tshuva and to enter into the whole parasha of tshuva, vidui and charata and everything. Even though it's not with a completely sincere heart, meaning he's sincere, it's not a phony. But the sincerity here is that, in all honesty, I know I'm not changing. I don't feel that I'm ready to change this. So, gamim zadayin lo b'leiv shalom. Ki bepnimiyus levavo roitzo loshuv el Hashem. The fact that the person is talking about these things, and he's honest with Hashem, and it hurts him, and he's admitting, he's not covering up. That means that the pnimius levavo, that in the pnimius of who he is, right to Lashu Hashem, he does want to return to Hashem as well. He wants to change this. So what does this person do? So without his bodhidus, a person might not think about this the whole year, and now he's in this all the time. But more importantly, or very important, is that after expressing after the person has expressed his regret and he's admitted his mistakes, he continues talking to Hashem. You're not done. So now You know that you're not going to change. You know that you're not, you feel that you can't change this. You don't even know that you want to change this. So at this time when you're in Hizbodus and you're being honest and you're feeling this regret of the past, wishing you could change, you don't leave it like some wish and walk away from it. But what do? Yaber b'tfilah v'tachanun l'Hashem. Pour your heart out to Hashem. Sheyazalem. Hashem, help me. Help me to want this badly. Help me to want this badly. Or, Hashem, I've tried to overcome this. I don't feel that I have the strength. I can't do this. I need you to help me. I need you to encourage me, to tell me that I can do this and to help me do this. Yaber b'tfilah v'zachanun l'Hashem sheyazalach nias etzitzo v'liyipard meharashalo, to separate from this behavior. Loyloshev l'kisla oid, and I shouldn't resume, I shouldn't continue. I should get completely away from this poor behavior. And by talking about this, and even though you see that whatever that aver is, you repeat it again after the Hizbodus. But you come again and you talk to Hashem Yisbach about it. And it's part of your Hizbodus, your tefillah. Like Rabbi Nosson explains in Hilchos Kriya Shema, Rabbi Nosson explains over there, brings rayas, that when you're davening and you're saying, I don't know how to change. I don't feel I can. But I'm asking you to help me to first, I should want to, and help me to do this. Rabbi Nosson says that tefillah is a ma'isiv tshuva. In other words, that right now is the equivalent of Kabbalah Lahabah. It's the equivalent of Kabbalah, but it equals now, it equals that piece, the missing piece of tshuva, which is Kabbalah Lahabah. Because instead of insincerely and dishonestly just saying to you, I'm never going to do this again, when you know that that's not really where you're holding, that's not a ma'ase tshuva. That type of a tshuva is, for me, it's like dishonest. So this is true. But when a person says that, because both is what Rabbi Nosson is saying. When a person says, honestly, I'm sorry, and this is what I did. Like it says by other Marishans, a famous medrash, the Kotsky used to talk about this medrash. He had such deacharis for other Marishans, a famous medrash that other Marishans says, achalti min ha'etz, I ate from the tree. Right? That's what it says in Pasuk. So the medrash says, achalti, and what was it? You know, it's a, I ate from the tree. I'm going to eat again. That's what he said. So you see a lot of the Sron, they start bashing other Mishan over that. But the Kotzke said, there's very nispalfen. Kotzke was very nispalfen. I have such a death error. So other Mishan. But other Mishan was saying, is, listen to Baruch Shalom. I got to tell you the truth. The way I'm holding right now is not a good place. Where I'm holding right now, I would do it again. I know you said all this scary stuff to me. It was kind of, I got it, you know, and I believe in it. And I'm in trouble. But whatever was wrong 5 minutes ago is still wrong. And I'm going to eat again. So help. And the Kotzke was right in his mouth. Such an elder, he talks such a word. To be honest, to say that, Hashem, I ate and I'm going to eat. So what Rabbi Nosson is explaining is that that's a ma'ase tshuva. Again, we're not talking silly. This person means it. He wants to be better. He just doesn't know how. Other Mishan wasn't saying something silly. Other Mishan was sabrach. Yeah, you should something. Well, you have to look at the Seder of the Psukim. But even then, it's not a contradiction. But because what he was saying to his baruch was this. Baharaya, look at this stuff I'm coming up with. Because it's not a steer. When he's saying achalti v'ochel, v'oichal, I ate and in my present matzav I will eat, meaning that the same way that I'm making excuses today, I'm going to make excuses tomorrow. In the same way that I blamed my wife today, I'll probably blame her or somebody else tomorrow. I didn't have a mother, so. It's chaval.
Chava was the maslo.
What?
Chava was the maslo.
Yeah, yeah, Chava.
He claimed his father.
You gave me. He should stop. Yeah, but we usually are more nervous about blaming our father. Mom's usually an easier punching bag, you know. She figures she'll get over it and she'll still love you. That would be fine. Yeah. What's going on? What happened over here? So he was saying, it's Rachmanis. What am I going to tell you? Everybody should look at me. And that's why I know that I'm going to eat tomorrow. Because here I am, making all kinds of cocky excuses of, you know, why I did this. It's your fault and it's her fault. It's not my fault. So I know that my matzah is the way that I am. I need a lot more therapy than this. And this is not better. I mean, it's not going to be better tomorrow. And the Koska said they had their heritage for that. Doesn't mean that that the Koska was saying he was happy about the matzah. He's saying that this. But if a person's honest, then he could change. As opposed to just running away. Making believe everything is fine. It's not fine. So part of trying to deal with it is that the initial stages of dealing with it is blaming and kindness, and then to move past that and to be a giver, to say, look, I have to tell you that I just don't see my way out of this right now, the matzav that I'm in. And what Rabbi Nosson is saying is that's a ma'aseh teshuva. That's what the Koska is in this both. That the Russian doesn't need some phony Kabbalah to make up that I'm never going to do this again. Parents sometimes will settle for that. But the Russian is not a game to play with the Kabbalah. That's why you see that the Chazal, when they talk about the tshuva of Nineveh, whether it's sincere tshuva with Yonah, whether it's sincere tshuva or it's tshuva's Rami. Rami means it's you're trying to trick God. Don't play games with the Baruchim. You think you're going to trick him. Now, sometimes a person really does believe that he will change, and he wants to change, and he means it, and he thinks, here I am, I'm going to do it. That's great. We try. But very often a person is not in that place. He just knows that this is not, I don't think I can. Now, I'll try. I don't know how much I could try, and I've tried. I don't know when I will succeed, and so on. So that's called this davening. The person says, Rabbi Shlomo, I can't. I need your help. And I would like to become better. I would like to want to be better. But I don't have that right now in me, these kaiches. So that davening, which a person puts into his bonus, so Rabbi Nosson says, that's a ma'aseh teshuva. It's a ma'aseh teshuva. Is very, very, very important to know. But if a person only uses this once a year by Yom Kippur, it doesn't go so well. But a person that lives a life of tshuva, it's part of his way of talking to Hashem and living with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it's a very meaningful thing to be in that parasha. The Havi Raya Dvarav, Rabbi Nosson brings a number of rayas, but he brings a raya. We've spoken about this apparent contradiction many times over the years. These two psukim. There's a pasuk in the Navi Malachi, and there's a pasuk in Eicha. Pasuk Yachad Aimer, the Navi, it says at the end, it's the very last Navua, the end of Navua by Malachi. It says, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Shuvu Eilai, come back to me. Vashuva aleichem, and I will return to you. As you start, Hashem says, that's the rule. The rule is Isarusa de l'sata talia milsa. That means that, like the Zohar Kodesh says, that man has to initiate. Tshuva is something that we have to initiate. You have to use your free choice, and you have to come back. You have to take the first step. I'll help you, but you have to come towards me. So that says, that's what it says in the Navi. Shuva elai, if you return to me. Va'ashuva aleichem, Hashem says, I'll return to you. Klemish kashya tashuva elai, oshuva aleichem. Bilu knesses yisrael emeres Hashem esbachnet. But then in Eicha, it says the other way. That we say to Hashem, hashiveinu Hashem eilechem v'nashuva. You bring us back. You start. you take the initiative. Ashivenu Hashem Elecha, and then v'nashuv. So that's what I'm talking about, this standoff. Like, who's going to start? Hashem says, you do tshuva, and I'll come back to you. And we say, you bring us back to you, and you bring us back, you start, and then, okay, we'll do tshuva. So Nosson explains, there are a few explanations. Rabbi Nosson explains, that certainly Hashem is right. He's always right. Hashem is right. And the order is that a human being has to make choices and we have to initiate. That's true. And Isarusa de Lasata means that there has to be a service from below, that we have to, a person has to want to return. So that's the emes, that's the truth. But how do we turn to him? How do we begin? So Rav Nosson says, Hideshin Ispalo Navakesh Hashiveno Hashem Alechem, by crying out to Hashem and saying, Hashiveno Hashem Alechem, I can't do this, I'm begging you to help me. That's man's initiative. The initiative is to talk to Hashem and say, I know that I'm supposed to start, but I don't know how. I can't. But that's called starting. That's called starting. And Hashem responds, oh, that's the right order. I'll help you. But that's called starting. But Nosson also says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Shuvu Elai, Shuvu Elaychem, right? Because that's first, that's the Navi Mal. And he says Shuvu Elai, Shuvu Elaychem. So, knows you do Shuvu, and then I'll come back to you. That itself is Hashem initiating. That feeling that you have that you want to change, that Hashem says to you, you feel Hashem telling you you have to change. But Hashem says, but you have to start. When Hashem tells that to you, means that really Hashem started. When he tells you that you have to start, it means Hashem started. Right? Because he's telling you, you have to start. So we answer, we say, I can't start. But then you start thinking about it afterwards and you try to do tshuva. Where did that come from? The Torah says, because Hashem said to you, tshuva, I want you to come back. Because deep inside of you, think that he doesn't want you to come back. Think he's finished with you. So when you feel Hashem telling you, Shuvu Elai, the truth is that Hashem is dark. He's initiated. That's another thing with Nosson. Hashem is initiated. Parent can let a kid go on and do it. And the parent throws the kid out and there's nothing to do with him. Actually, it's just finished with him. The parent reaches out to the kid and says, listen, you know, you can't continue doing this. So by the parent reaching out, even though the kid doesn't necessarily hear that as the attempt on the part of the parent to have the kid back, the kid might even get angry about it. The mice, it means the parent's not doing well without his kid. So he's reaching out to the kid. How the kid interprets that depends on the maturity and the intelligence and so on. But the parent is reaching out. The worst thing is, when the parent just doesn't even bother. He doesn't care. Because, you know, parent washes his hands of the kid, God forbid. Says he's potter. He washes his hands of the kid. You're on your own, buddy. Hashem doesn't do that with us. Hashem never, ever washes his hands. Says you're on your own. Hashem says, I want you to do true. And the person says, I don't know. I can't do that. But you start. And Hashem gives a little bit of a wink. He says, I just did. I just did start. Where else do you think you had this idea that you want to change? You have such an idea to talk to me about that. If you have such a musag of believing in the Indian of doing true, that came from me. So these are to Mahalchim, but the point is that when the person is diving to Hashem for help and admitting that he feels weak, that's a Maaseh Teshuva. In other words, that fulfills the requirement of being in the avodah of tshuva. And once you're in the avodah of tshuva, then Hashem says, "Are you bazoi?" Okay. If you're in the parish, I'm here too. We're in. I'm in also. If you're in, I'm in. So davening is a ma'aseh tshuva. The person says, "I can't make a kabbalah." Of course, you try to continue on, and you do the best you can. So that's how how do we return to Hashem? Hideshin is palo. How dav? We dav. When the vakesh Hashiveinu Hashem Elach. We ask a kosh broch Hashiveinu Hashem Elach. You bleed tefillah v'sachanunim. Yevshak klal losh v'lasha. Without davening, without begging Hashem for help, sometimes you think that it is not a big deal and I can change and it doesn't work out. Without Hashem's help, we can't change. Without Hashem's help, we can't. Therefore, the fact that a person sincerely wants to do tshuva, and he talks to Hashem about that. He said, "I don't know how, but I want to." And whatever tefillahs we say, asking Hashem to bring us back then. That itself means that we're in the Asik, the avodah of tshuva. And then we're applying for aid, we're applying for help, and Hashem's rachamim will help us. And therefore, you see there in the brackets, which we'll talk about in Mitzvah Hashem. Further along, Ikra Bechira hi tefila. So Rabbi Nachman said all the time, Rav Nosson, the Ikra Bechira is the Dav. Sometimes a person doesn't have the Bechira to change. It's not in his Bechira right now to change. But the Dav, and you could always Dav. Hashem doesn't take that away from a person. To ask, to want. But Hashem doesn't mess with that. You might not be able to change right now, but you definitely could Dav. So daven. That's the bechir that you have. It's the ikke bechir you have is to ask. It's the daven. Sometimes the union of change is, mamish, is not in the person's balaramas, the change. What should care? But to ask for help and to turn to Hashem and to daven, it's, and even if a person feels I can't daven, you could say, "Elam to do me, I can't open my mouth. Help me open my mouth." But that's bechira. You have that bechira. The ikur is that a person should be honest. It's a very strong sentence from the tzaddik Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalab Zecher Tzaddik Kosher of Cook's Talmud. Yaakov Moshe said, I don't remember where, a letter maybe. But Yaakov Moshe wrote that if a person's entire life is dishonest, if your life is not real, it's not honest, then for that person who is dishonest, davening is impossible. And the reason for that is because the words of davening are emes, and this person is a chakra. He says that one of the signs of a person who's not honest with himself and with the Kodesh Baruch Hu is that it's hard for him to daven. It's hard for him to say honest words. Those are honest words. It's hard for him to say honest words. That's why when a person starts his bodhis for the first time, it's very hard. Because if you're used your whole life to making excuses, like Isha, this is something, your whole life you're not saying the truth. And you're not talking about outright lie, but you know, spiels of games. So then to say the davening is honest. It's very hard to daven if you're not in the habit of being honest. It's very hard. Back when I said, he didn't say it's very hard. He said it's impossible. I think he said it's impossible. Yeah, sure. I think he said it's impossible. Because the l'chol hashe yekru, Your life is not an emesdika life. You're not an emesdika person. So what's the yikur of emes? But you're not used to talking honestly to anybody. So now you're going to talk honestly to the Rishonim. This whole thing is fun. Dishonest person. This is dishonest with davening also. So he says the words, but he doesn't feel it. Doesn't make a difference in the words. Doesn't care. So a lot of the difficulty that people have with davening is rooted in this issue of being, of hiding and being dishonest. So people then will continue on. They'll go to shul. They won't daven. They'll talk. They'll walk around. They'll look at what davening is. And davening is very, very, very hard. If you're not really honest, so then the davening does have meaning. It doesn't mean anything. And you just stop saying words. And you could do that. How could a person stop saying words? His whole life goes to shul. Ashes, right? So, yes, the catch of all those is when he snaps over you. The terrors is he's used to saying things dishonestly. He does that with everything. So, the same way he's dishonest with his wife and his husband or the friends, and he's dishonest in business, he's dishonest with everything. So, he's dishonest in davening too. So, because the same way you say to your friend, I was worried about you. I didn't hear from you. I didn't see you. Sure, I was worried about you. Are you okay? It doesn't really mean. He just wants to know what's this guy been up to. So you can say the same thing. You can dive in. So, how are you doing? What's going on? It's not honesty. It's not honesty. Stop. Dibur and Baalma. Words. Dibur and Baalma. One of the most wonderful things about his bodhis is that it rips you out of that phoniness. It just tears you out of that. Because it's crazy if you do this both of this. Because there's no din that you have to do it. It's not like you're on the program, you know, that I got to keep Shabbos, I got to go to school, I got to do stuff like that. It's on the program. So what are you doing? You're just walking around. What are you doing? You want to belong to some rest of organization or something? Like, what are you doing this for? So why are you doing it? So it takes you out of that place of being dishonest. And it's very hard in the beginning because we're not used to being so honest. So, it's, I mean, everybody's different, but it's very hard. You feel, I don't know, who am I talking to? Are you there? So you can ask that person, what do you mean? You've been going to shul for the last 50 years. How come you never wondered about that in shul? Are you here? What do you mean, are you here? All of a sudden, you have these fakers. Who am I talking to? Why? Is he in your backyard or something? He's less in the backyard. More here is there. You never honestly spoke to him. So in shul, since you feel that shul doesn't require honesty, it's just a way of life, like we spoke about. I spoke about a few shoshus last week, but 2 weeks ago, it's just a way of life. I'm Orthodox, so I daven. So since I'm Orthodox, I daven. It's a mahalach of my life. It's not that I really actually think about what I'm saying. It's just the mahalach of my life. So you don't have to be honest and true. But if you're going to his bodhis, you took off time and you're going to talk to the Baruch Shalom, it's really ridiculous. There's no reason why you would continue doing that or you'd even bother with it. It's just silly. It's not a mahalach of life to go someplace and talk to God. It's a mahalach of life to go to shul because you're Orthodox. The kids are waiting to see you go to shul or whatever. Whatever it is that compels you to get there, guilt or Jewish history, whatever it is that gets you to shul. Often wonder about that is that there are people that go to shul, like, why are they? Why did you come to shul? Why you'd do better off not coming to shul? Like, why do you want to come to shul? There's something compelling them to come to shul. So it comes something deep inside, an official kiss to go to at least whatever it is. But this all kinds of stuff mixed up in that. Why? Like you look at people and you wonder, like, why are you coming to shul? Just to stare everybody else from davening? What are you doing over here? To do an aveir, you can say the same Irish kite, as long as it's not lashon hara. You can say the same Irish kite on the street, and it's not aveir. You had to walk into the shul to do it, make it into an aveir. Well, you have to come over here to make it an aveir. Like Reb Chaim Sonnenfeld said, when Herzl came to Yerushalayim, there were many men. They treated him like many people, like he was Mashiach. He came to Yerushalayim, and he went up to the Har Habayis, mamish to the Makom HaKadosh. So Reb Chaim Sonnenfeld said, I always wonder, why does Herzl want to go up to? Why does Bechlau want to come to Yerushalayim? There's no shaykhus to Yiddishkeit. And why does he want to go up to the Har HaBayis? What does he have? So he says, now I, because he couldn't do every Aveira while he was down the list. Here's one Aveira he couldn't do unless he went up to the Harabais. Now he was able to do this Aveira also. So why does a person have to come to shul to talk? You could talk outside of shul. Then it's just stam diburim. Once you come to shul, then you're doing an Aveira. So why do you want to do that in shul? There are things that compel a person to be on the program. And then he walks home and he feels this, I was in shul today. I went to shul today. Did you daven? I said, I went to shul today. Imagine if the wives would like interrogate the husbands when they come back. Like every guy comes back. Says, good Shabbos. What's with the kiddush? The wife says, look, I'm not putting anything out. I first want to talk to you. Did you daven today? So I just came back from shul. I'm asking, did you daven today? What do you think? I didn't say Shemoneh Esrei. I didn't daven. What did I go to shul for? I want you to tell me, how much of the davening did you daven with the Kodesh Baruch Hu bent? Then she'll say something like that. She'll say something like, so for that you have to leave me with 7 kids, like to take care of them? For that 30 seconds? You know what? Do me a favor. You stay here. I'll go daven. Because I'm really going to talk to God. You stay here in the house and you take care of the kids. I'll give you 30 seconds. You can go to shul rest of if you want. But when you're in his bodies, it's absurd. By his bodies, he's going to do such a thing? Just like I was talking to somebody by the COVID, by that time of COVID. So like a guy that's like a big talker, he's not going to be a big talker, a lot of davening. Just signed home for years. We grew up together. So I asked him, so, what do you do now? Like, how's davening? Like, what's it like to daven now? What do you do? Like, you go out, you're in your study, right? This guy has a big, beautiful house not far from here. I said, you're sitting there Shabbos morning, it's COVID. You're not in the shul. So what do you do? He says, what do you mean, what I do? I understand. Bam, it's like, what do you do? Who do you go talk to your wife in the middle? What do you do? She's sleeping or kids? What do you do? So a lot of people told me that for the first time in their lives, they had to like make a cheshbon like that. COVID for that, I'm saying people were sick, it was terrible. But for that, Indian people, for the first time, they said, because it's really ridiculous to walk out of your own davening if you're the only one that's in shul. I mean, if you're the only one that's davening, what are you going to do? You walk out on yourself? Are you going to talk to yourself? So what do you think about that? What do you think about that Arab on CNN? What are you going to do? It's such a strange matzav to be in. Because the whole mahalach of orthodoxy was broken. The regular way of life was broken. That's what also, I had the same thing with people that were screaming, that were doing all kinds of illegal things to get to a shul. What's the matter with you? Remember, I was talking a lot about this at the time. What are you doing? What are you going against the law? And you have to, why do you have to go to shul? Because they felt that the mahalach was taken away. I mean, not the mahalach, they felt that they have no Yiddishkeit. It's because the mahalach is to daven in shul. Especially by a certain oilam, by a very firm oilam, the mahalach was just that's go to shul, which is nice. But when the mahalach was taken away because of Fauci or somebody, it took away the mahalach, or the government took away the mahalach. So now what? So I don't have any more my mahalach. It means I don't have my way of life. They're not letting me go to shul. People fighting, going crazy, do all kinds of crazy things to sneak into shuls and do all things at the time. Oh, of course, now we look back, we see this awesome Snarish guy, but most of it was Snarish guy. But people just, what was it? What's? And I said to people, okay, so daven at all. What's the matter? You know, man. But you have to, why are you doing something against the law? Are you going to daven? I said, there's daven. It's not so possible. Are you saying to me that I should daven? Not in the misgeret of my orthodox way of life. So then what? What happens? So my Yiddishkeit. Because my whole Yiddishkeit was just a way of life. And now the government took away my way of life. So you have to decide. Is Yiddishkeit something that you actually believe in? And you have this thing with a Kodesh Baruch Hu? many people, they told me that they never had such thing. They were with the davening with the children there. It was like every davening, every Shabbos was like a Kabbalah Shabbos. It was unbelievable. The stories that people were talking about, the things they had during that time. So they felt, this is my shul. This is my tzibur. And this is it. You know? But it was so interesting. You know, it's forced people to come to a place that's honest. Do you honestly daven Shabbos? Or do you just go to shul? And what happened to you when there's no shul? What do you do when there's no shul? What do you do when you don't have the familiar furniture of Orthodox Judaism? Like, what do you do? That could either make you into a much greater person, because it forces you to an honest place, or you go nuts. You just start screaming, yelling, and carrying on like, how can you do this to me? How can you do this to me? I'm going to sneak into the shul. I'm going to go against everybody. And not only that, but these people thought that was some sort of, the people that were doing that, like they thought it was like Mesiras Nefesh, the Yiddish guy. What is Mesiras Nefesh? You weren't chayef at that time. You were not only not chayef but a shul. I'll be also going to go shul. And I said this to people even on an airplane. If people that shum oifel will not give up, you know, they won't daven, but you know, in a minion on the airplane. I'm not talking about somebody's a chayef. He has this whole thing with kaddish hanging over his head. But Shlomo Zalman, another person, says sit in your chair and daven. And you know what? You can stand in your chair and daven for 2-3 hours. I enjoy that. I don't like it with the talisman film. That's very uncomfortable. The whole thing on the plane. But when it's just like a mincha or a marav or something, you can sit and daven. It's not a machai. Machai. I'm not saying it's a way to live like that. But it happens. So what am I supposed to do? I'm going to go around now trying to collect a couple of people to wake them up. So also, by the way, maybe somebody explain this to me. How do people keep on sleeping for so many hours when this man creation was like 4 hours before? You know what I'm talking about. You get one of those flights and you're going to Eretz Yisrael, right? And you know that you're heading east, right? So I never understand, like, you have all these fun people that just, and they're lying there. I can't fall asleep at all because I'm so nervous about it. Because it says on the thing that I got, usually Jeff would give me the thing. I asked him from the computer when they were just starting. I get a thing that says that you have 2 hours and 35 minutes and then it's going to be served to my creation. And I look around, the Arlam. It's like, Schluff. You ever see that? Or is I the only one that noticed that? I hope you're not one of the first Schluff. What do you mean? You have to know what time to say. You have to know when the sixth man creation. When's the Zman Tefillah? Schluff. So the guy's getting up Shachris. It's 6 o'clock at night. He gets up for Shachris. What are you, the Amshon of Rebbe or somebody? What do you do? Shachris at 6 o'clock? Hey, this guy putting on film, it's already dark where we are. It's a funny thing. When you're in a Mokum Patur, you understand what I'm saying? When you're in that zone, COVID, plane, you have some chev like when they leave the neighborhood, they leave the hood and they're up in the mountains somewhere. You know? Not where everybody is. I'm not saying like, you know, in the middle of South Fallsburg or Monticello, you know. Try to get further away. So then, what do you have over here? You don't have the regular structure. The regular binion of orthodoxy, so then it's you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you have to decide. Are the other nine? Are you with them or you're against them or you're not with them? It's just a fun, it's an interesting place to be in.
What is the position that you could take on, especially if it's Gentile?
Okay, so I don't want to go into that. That's not the time for that. I would just say that the majority of poskim hold that, especially if it's not a Jewish place. Nobody can go standing over there by the bathroom and the stewardesses, they're bumping into the ladies. And what's the whole thing? It's absurd. That's what you're going to daven? But again, if somebody saying Kaddish, you know, he feels like, you can't argue when somebody feels that way.
Yeah.
I understand that. Someone is a chiyuv, they feel like I'm going to miss a Kaddish. Even though you could, because it's not the matzah to do it. But I understand that. But Stam, you have these people that they, it can't be, and they think that like I was Moshe Nefesh that I davened by the bathroom and the stewardess, you know, that's Mesiras Nefesh, davening in your chair and don't bother people. What about the union of davening Betzibah? I have a streak going for 2.5 years. You have a streak. It's all of these inyanim, like that are not Havidus Hashem. The Baruch Shalom this is not Lou Gehrig or something, you know. You have a streak, but you have a batting streak. You're bothering people. They're not even Jewish. And you're standing over there, they can't bring the food. You know, so what are you doing? It's my streak. There's no sign about these kinds of things. It's not about Avodas Hashem. Something else. Avodas Hashem is a person who's seichel and halacha. What do I do? In these situations, the Teretz is davening yitzhia. Instead of bothering people and making a whole scene, you're davening yitzhia. That's all. But this is whenever there's a Yiddishkeit without a Kaddish Baruch Hu, there are strange things. When Yiddishkeit is with the Rebbe Shalom, it comes out regular. But when it's without a Kaddish Baruch Hu, then all kinds of strange things. So what happens is that when you're coming back to just finish this paragraph, when you're doing his Baidus, you're with Hashem. Maybe people that do his Baidus all the time, it becomes like, I know that the rest of the Meshvim are always struggling with this with the Chevra because they start to, his Baidus could become also just a part of your routine. And that's something that they have to work with. But if you're a person that's not your routine per se, like that, yeah, it became another inyan that you have to check off, but it's something you're really doing. So then the nature of that is that it's real and it's honest. That's what you say. Okay, Rabbi Hashem, we can finish the pair. All right, Kozel, good day, Allah, Shari, Om Chazal, Shekishonim, Mispalim, Mahakravas, Karbim, Maskir, Maisa, Nechshav, Malakilik, Hikravnu, Kamesha, Kozel, and Hashem, Parmesh, Vaseinu. Everybody knows that a lot of our davening is about this, that we can't bring Karbonis now. So we say, Tokas, Baruch, listen, you want us to bring Karbonis, build a base of Mikdash, we can. So it says, Mishnah, Parmesh, Vaseinu, that our lips, our words are in place of the Karbonis. So you see, that's such a thing. So same thing with the person. I can't do this right now. So then davening for it and asking for it and trying and talking is kilo. It's like a tshuva. When the person still feels that he can't mamish change in the right way, he would like to, but he just can't. Then what can he do? He can daven. I don't have my basic makers right now, but I can daven. So then that's your base HaMikdash. Ulevakish rach mishamayim. She is gelazai. They should be zeicher. She lazev derech resha to go away from bad stuff. Lo shul Hashem to do shuv. Was techoshev tefilosik. Misha isik b'tshuv. And then your davening is the isik of tshuv. Your davening is tshuv. Who calls us b'tnai. Of course, all this is in the condition. So isik kol mashiv yichol to lazus l'shamas. You're sincere. And you really do try to change. It's not stami say these things and you play games. And it's just silly. But do you really mean to change the Kabbalah? Just there are things that you feel you can't, and you try, and you can't, and you start to daven, and you daven because that you can do. That's your bechira to daven. And then even and Hashem counts, but you couldn't change. Kilo, you changed it. And it was that shuvah is considered to be true. And Hashem will help you to bring you to a place where you can change. And in the meantime, Hashem counts that shuva. It's called shuva. It's called shuva. That is called shuva. So davening is a big thing, especially the Hezbollah. This part of it is a huge, huge thing. If we should be able to believe that.